couple weeks ago and took Layla over to the library store to buy some books. I guess she figured we needed even more stuff to move. It wasn't like we needed two trucks to move all of our stuff or anything like that. Anyhow, she takes Layla to the library store, and they come back with a bag of books. Well, last night at bedtime, Yesenia asked me to read this book right here. And it's the first time I'd read this book, and I'd like to share some of the highlights with you. It's a story, the kids go to visit Grandma Bear, and they're all excited. When are we going to Grandma's? We're going right now. All right, let's load up in the van. I'm paraphrasing. And Belle and Bert are the kids, and they're really excited. They all hug. And this one, Mom gives her list to Grandma, you know, what time nap time is, you know, allergies, schedules, that kind of thing. And Grandma says, oh, we'll be fine. Just go and enjoy yourself. And Mama Bear leaves. And Grandma, as soon as Mom's out the door, now we can party. And what do we always do first? Cookies, the cubs cheered. And no one makes cookies like Grandma's cookies, Bert says between licks on licking the bowl. With the cookies baked, they go fishing. So far, oh, this is a lovely story, you know. Of course you make cookies when you go to Grandma's. They bring the fish home, and they get into a trunk of old clothes, and they have a fashion show. I think that's pretty cool. Grandma shares some of her jewelry with the kids. Then, oh my goodness, Grandma said, according to Mama's list, we were supposed to have lunch 2 hours ago. We have lunch late. We must have been having too much fun. Come on. So they hurried to the kitchen table, where a delicious lunch awaited them. Bert and Belle picked up their forks, and just as they're about to dive into their green bean and honey casserole, or their bears, when Grandma shouted, wait, at Grandma's house, dessert is first. Bert and Belle laughed, and they turned to their dessert plates, and they had a very berry banana pie. Grandma, they said, there's nothing like your pie. And lunch was very tasty, and afterward, Grandpa headed off for a nap, and Grandma said, well, look at Mama's list. According to this, it's nap time for you two. Yeah, after lunch, you have nap. So, Grandma let the cubs crawl into her bed, which was squishier than ever any bed they'd ever been in. You know what I think, Grandma said? I think I'd like to see which one of you can jump higher than I can. They're all jumping in Grandma's bed, thinking, yeah, but we don't do that when we're not at Grandma's house. I actually said that reading the story. you wouldn't jump on the bed at Grandma's house. That's up to Grandma, but we're sitting there looking at their bed. There, Grandma said, after that, we need a nap. And that's good, you know, got them all tuckered out, and they had their nap. Afterwards, they went into the garden. And, the day went by too quickly. The cubs were having so much fun. When they saw Grandma peering through her reading glasses at the list, they got a little worried. Well, I'm following Mom's instructions, and we've covered everything that says here it's bedtime now. She winked. But I think you may need to stay up a little later. Let's make up popcorn and watch cartoons. Finally, Belle and Bert could hardly keep their eyes open. Grandma read them a story and said a special prayer for them. Then she carried them to bed and thanked them for such a fun day. My sweet grandcubs, she said, there's no one like you. Pretty sure after the kids went home from the grandparents, they were thinking something like, these are not the people I grew up with. These are old people trying to get into heaven now. Our parents were never, oh, let's stay up late and eat popcorn and watch cartoons. Go to bed. Oh, it's lunchtime. Oh, here, eat pie first. Grandparents, on the other hand, so I'm informed. I mean, I got my first batch now. Not grandkids, you know, 20 years from now when I'm 60 or something, you know. Actually, Yesenia, Layla, Makai, if you're listening, you can wait when I'm 70 or something. We can have the first batch of grandkids. You know, but grandparents, I understand it's a little different. Well, you know, last Sunday, in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, we looked at our pending relocation to heaven. We're all going to be relocated. I was relocated just this last weekend from an apartment to a house. It was great. And the house we're in is much better than the apartment we were living in. In heaven, we're all going to be, it's going to be much, much better. Obviously. And it's that promise of heaven sometimes that can sustain us through the tough times. It was this promise of heaven combined with God's strength, with God strengthening him, that got Paul through some of the tough times that must have inspired what Paul wrote in chapter 6, starting with verse 4b. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We've been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness by the Holy Spirit within us. And by our sincere love, we faithfully preach the truth. God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. We serve God whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We're honest, but they call us imposters. We're ignored, even though we're well known. We live close to death, but we're still alive. We've been beaten, but we have not been killed. A lot happened to Paul throughout his ministry. Beaten, put into prison, angry mobs, working to exhaustion, sleepless nights, going without food. And through all of it, he stayed true to his calling. If we look back at verse 3, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us. Throughout all of that, for all that happens, someone looks at us, they're not going to stumble because of our example. We're going to continue to praise God in it all. No one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are the true ministers of God. Verse 10, our hearts ache, but always we have joy. We're poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, yet we have everything. Through all of his troubles, and there were many, Paul stayed true to his calling. He always had joy, a joy that came within, a joy that he couldn't have summoned up for himself, a joy that came from God. Paul didn't list off his troubles just to gain sympathy. His reasons were, one, that he was establishing his credentials based on his actions, and not what anyone else said. A few chapters back, Paul said, I don't need man's credentials. I come to you with my testimony. I come to you with the knowledge that I have been called of God, and I don't need anyone else's piece of paper. He lists those things to remind them, I have my credentials from my walk. When I come to you, I'm Paul. You know who I am. This is the way it is. That, and he also wanted to show the Corinthians that even when times get hard, and his troubles were far worse than theirs would ever be, they can endure those hard times and remain true to their faith. Paul's message has always been that the gospel is our path to grace. And it's through that grace that we receive our salvation. He's teaching us that we should not squander this grace. And whether it's that place, We shouldn't squander God's grace, and whatever is placed on the path in front of us, we should still remain true to the calling that God has put us on. Back to Layla's book. The old people trying to get into heaven. Anne's like, what? Their grandparents are just being nice. I'm thinking, when mom and dad got them back, they're thinking, these aren't my parents. They never let me stay up late and eat popcorn. We know grandparents are different. So why were these people so generous to their children? Aren't they concerned that when they get home, they may want to jump on their own beds? Will these children demand dessert before lunch or to stay up to date? And what eat? Oh, I didn't. They made their popcorn on the stove the old-fashioned way. So are they going to demand non-microwave popcorn? Grandma and Grandpa were trying to gain the grace of their grandchildren by lavishing with things they probably wouldn't get at home. They love their grandchildren a lot. We know that. I'm definitely not telling grandparents not to lavish on their children. But, you know, I'm reading this as a parent. I'm panicking. What kind of ideas are Yesenia and Layla going to get? I thought when I was reading it, and then I'm researching the sermon, old people trying to get into heaven. You know, if that's the case, let's just be mean and hard-hearted and say it is. Will they get into heaven? Does doing a few good things at the end cover up for a past life of not-so-good things? Does that get you into heaven? Suppose these grandparents really were just bitter people with their kids and never let them have an ounce of fun. And now they've seen the error of their ways. They have repented, and they're showing God's love to the grandchildren. Well, that's good. And if they've truly repented and turned from their old ways, then yes, they're doing good things because God did something good for them. He saved them. On the other hand, if they're just trying to bribe God, then that doesn't work. Verse 1, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gifts of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. The day of salvation. Salvation is a gift from God. There's nothing we can do to earn it. And today is the day of salvation. If these grandparents had waited their whole life because they intentionally wanted to wait, well, that was their loss. They didn't get the joy of serving God their entire life. Because the right time to ask God into your life, to follow Jesus, the right time is now. You don't know what tomorrow might bring. You might have Paul's life waiting in front of you. And you definitely need God's strength from within for that. You may get plowed down by a Mack truck marked Mayflower, filled with my possessions, on the way across the street. The right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Verse 11. Dear Corinthian friends, we have spoken honestly with you. Our hearts are open to you. There is no lack of love on our part, but you have withheld your love from us. I am asking you to respond as if you were my own children. Open up your hearts to us. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil. How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. If today is the day of salvation, and we're not to be squander, and we're not to squander what we've been given, then why would we want to partner with that which is of the world? You know, Jesus spoke of this situation when he spoke to John in his revelation. Jesus said, I know that you live in a city where Satan has his throne. This is the church at Pergamum. I know you live in a city where Satan has his throne. Yet you've remained loyal to me. You've refused to deny even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's cities. These believers in Pergamum, surrounded by those who've put Satan on the throne of their lives, remained loyal to Jesus, not partnering to the sin around them, not allowing themselves to be yoked unequally. However, at Thyatira, perhaps it wasn't so good. But I have this complaint against you, Jesus talking. You're permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and eat food offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Not only were there immoral things going on, they'd allowed a false prophet to become part of the body of believers. Her teachings were contrary to the teachings of God. And Jesus speaks of their coming punishment. It's those type of situations that Paul is warning of here, of allowing false teachers into the church. The Corinthians lived in a city where sin abounded. Temples to the goddesses of love. We call them prostitution places. They were doing a pretty good job of keeping all the sin outside and of letting their light shine in the city. But there were teachers among them. Teachers who, in order to prop themselves up, tore Paul down. Paul's teaching them to follow Christ, so they taught something contrary. Teachers that, given their own devices, would pull the church down with them. Paul was specifically warning the Corinthians about those among them and telling them not to be yoked unequally. He's telling us today, as a church, not to be yoked unequally with the world. We must be careful as believers to always know what the Bible teaches ourselves. I'm talking to each one of you individually. So that when someone gets up here and preaches something, or teaches in a Sunday school class, or you hear it on the radio, or wherever, you know whether they're speaking the truth or they're not. You want to know it yourself so that a so-called teacher can't come in and begin to teach something that isn't true. In the past weeks, we've seen some examples. Little Ed teaching that if you buy some stuff from him, you can be saved. Or little Benny saying, I'll slap you on the head and you'll follow me. Oh, yeah, that Jesus guy's involved somehow. Those are the types we shouldn't be yoked with because they're sinful and from this world. we shouldn't yoke ourselves with the world, because today is the day of salvation. And tomorrow may be too late. So what are you waiting for? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, after this service, come find me. Come find Pastor Val. Come find Mark, one of our elders. Kelly, one of our elders. We want to pray with you. We want to show you how you too can celebrate today, the day of your salvation. Today is the day. Praise God, and may His blessings be upon His people.